Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Hello and welcome to Know Your Constituency. In this podcast, we'll be mapping out the politics of all 43 constituencies, which will determine the makeup of the 34th Dáil and the next government. We're going to outline all the essentials, the seats, the seat holders, the soon-to-be former seat holders, and everything in between. But we're going to try and condense all of that into the next few minutes. So let's start into the next episode. I'm Claire Byrne. I'm joined once again by RTÉ Radio's Barry Lenehan. He's here for all 43 episodes. Also with us is Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University. It's good to be here with you both.
You too, Claire.
So we're going to look now at Dublin Fingal East. So Barry, this is another new constituency after the split of Dublin Fingal. You're going to give us the essentials. So the seats, as far as you can, in a split constituency, the seat holders, because it's a little bit hard to get a handle on, but you're going to do that for
us. Yes, so the old five-seat Dublin Fingal becoming two three-seat constituencies, and three of the incumbents from the previous constituency pitch up their tents here. They are Fianna Fáil's Dara O'Brien, Fine Gael's Alan Farrell, and Labour's Duncan Smith.
Okay, so it was there were significant changes made here, weren't there, in the boundary review, of course, with Fingal splitting in two, Gary. So what is Dublin Fingal East? Is it?
Two brand new constituencies with three seats each, replacing the old five seats. So an extra seat in the north side of Dublin. Fingal East is basically Swords, Malahide, Portmarnock, Donabate, Kinsealy, that type of area. A couple of big beasts in the constituency. The issues, public transport is a huge issue here.
Mm-hmm.
We had
the DART furore over the last little while in the run-up to this election, which seems to be sorted to a certain extent. But there is a big problem there, isn't there, with the growing population?
There's a huge population, particularly around Swords. It has decent bus connections, but not enough. And it takes forever, I'm told, to get into the city, particularly in rush hour and back again. And there was certainly a lot of controversy over the DART, as you said. All of the candidates in this particular constituency, which Barry will take us through in a little while, have public transport at the top of their sort of agenda.
So not housing, public transport.
Which I think is a big issue here particularly. And then you do go to things like housing, health. It was very interesting, even Duncan Smith, the Labour candidate, talked about the importance of the environment, because this is a type of... there's a bit of a rural area here as well. And I think... The idea of the national and the local merging together is seen in Fingal East, Clare.
Yeah, it could be, it's a tricky one really, isn't it? Because people forget, you have like very rich farmland as part of this constituency as well.
Well, all across Fingal, and yes, indeed, and Smith and others have pointed to the changing nature of the constituency. A lot of people want to live out here in the under the sort of the North County Dublin, as it would have been called. But a big issue is certainly transport, which of course links into the environment.
Okay, now before we're going to get stuck into the runners and riders, remember all of this is based on what we know at the time of recording. So candidate nominations haven't closed as we're speaking now. So Barry's going to update us later with any news once that happens. But for now, Barry, as you flick maniacally through all of your records there, where do you want to start with Dublin Fingal East?
Well, let's start with one of the big political beasts here. And that's the Housing Minister, Dara O'Brien. He was comfortably re-elected in the last election here with 10,000 first preference votes. First elected to Dáil Éireann in 2007, lost his seat in the party's deluge in 2011, although perhaps was scuppered by an ill-fated two-candidate strategy on that occasion. Now, Dara O'Brien, he is under a little bit of pressure here, it's fair to say. His team here didn't do so well in the local elections. His brother's vote, Owen O'Brien, was down, whilst he also lost a councillor in the party stronghold of Swords and Bridget Manton. They also lost a councillor, rather remarkably, around Donabate as well. So Dara O'Brien, he won't be taking anything for granted. My local spies in the constituency say he's been highly active in recent weeks, calling a at doors, getting his presence felt. But at the same time, there surely is no danger of Fianna Fáil losing a seat here on the redrawn boundaries. They're sitting on over a quota at the moment, in spite, even given for their local election results. So he should be safe as houses, like, pardon the pun.
It's always really unsettling, isn't it, when there's a complete redraw like we have here, Gary. Does it suit Dara O'Brien or not?
I think it does suit him for the reasons Barry just alluded to, Claire. There is a nervousness, of course, because they didn't do tremendously well in local elections, but Fianna Fáil would point out that they have a history of doing better in general elections and outpolling their local elections and then their polling results. So it will be a calamity of all calamities for Fianna Fáil if Dara O'Brien was to lose his seat. Mm-hmm. He might have been gone down in the pecking order for replacing Micheál Martin, maybe replacing by Jack Chambers of nearby Dublin West, but if he is like in danger, you can expect Fianna Fáil to throw everything at trying to retain his seat in the last days of the campaign.
I don't think he's in danger by any stretch, but you know, he's putting a bit more elbow grease into it than one might have expected a few months ago.
Tree seekers, you see, are dangerous territory, because you do need to make sure you have a significant first preference vote, and if with the first preference vote going down in the local elections, you can have a touch of nervous. Now, he's a bruising character and not shy of sticking his elbows in debates, and I think he should be fine.
And also, you have to be wary if you're in charge of a portfolio that is top of the list in almost every constituency when it comes to concerns. You don't know how that's going to play, right?
Yeah, and local activists in Labour and Social Democrats will make hay of his presence on the ticket here, pointing to housing issues perhaps around Donoghue and parts of Swords in particular. So he does face an assault perhaps on the ground, but again, it's hard to see him being in any grave difficulty.
Okay, so the other two deputies that we have here, let's talk about the Labour candidate and sitting TD first. This is Deputy Duncan Smith.
Yes, he eked out a seat here for Labour in the last election by a very narrow margin, Duncan Smith, a seat that they've held for quite some time with the Ryan family before him. Now, on the last occasion, his vote was around 7%, 4,500 first preferences for Duncan Smith. But that was in the enlarged five-seater, and over three quarters of his vote on that occasion was in this constituency, Dublin Fingal East. So from a standing start from that, he'd be on around 11 or 12%, which is automatically would get him into the mix. Now, those in Labour feel he's relatively secure. They would point to the recent hoopla around the trains, which Smith and the councillor there, Carina Johnston, made hay out of. So he would hope to do rather well, and Labour Party feel he's relatively secure, but again, no certainty in a three-seater.
It was interesting when the Boundary Commission was redrawn in the summer of this year, 2024, I think there was a general consensus that Smith was doomed and that Labour were in deep trouble here. But the party's renaissance, beginning with its Éan Riordan's win in Dublin in the European elections, has certainly given it a boost. He's an old student of mine, Duncan Smith, at DCU.
They all are, Gary, are they?
There's a few of them. There's a few. And he very articulate. A lot of listeners will remember his go at Michael Healy Ray, saying that Labour were completely removed from the ordinary working man, and he's saying he was the son of a carpenter. And whether he can be a sort of a Jesus figure and have resurrect his campaign and get elected remains to be seen.
But he really scrambled home the last time, and it was a part of what was described by some as, even though the Labour Party largely held their seats, as a bit of a humiliating national performance for the party in 2020. But the feeling is that they are on the up, and they did top the poll in Portmarnock here in the local elections as well. So there does seem to be a bit of a wave behind him.
We have another incumbent, and we'll deal with Alan Farrell now as well while we're talking about the sitting TDs. He is Fine Gael, and what was his performance in the last run out?
Yes, 6,000 first preferences the last time for Alan Farrell. But if you had recorded this podcast maybe 6 months ago, there was a huge target on his back. All the other parties saw him as the weak link before the change in Fine Gael leadership. Now the consensus is he should be relatively secure for the second seat, Alan Farrell, a TD there since 2011, the only current member of the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party not to either hold ministerial office or have held ministerial office, although he is the chairman of that party. Fine Gael, a bit cock-a-hoop here locally after their local election results. They garnered a seat in Swords for the first time since 2014 with Luke Corkery, who's only 21 years of age. So that perhaps shows signs of a bit of a renaissance too for Fine Gael here locally, in an area where they have been in the doldrums in more recent years. The James Riley by-election performance in 2019, perhaps they're nadir here.
All right,
he's kind of in the Malahide part,
correct,
of the constituency,
yeah,
which would be the more populous and perhaps more prosperous part. Again, a good day for Fine Gael if he can hold his seat in 3, and if he were to lose his seat, then maybe there would be no Harris Hop. I mean, in one way, it looks kind of incumbents.
Mm.
Fianna Fáil, Dara Brian,
well,
Fine
hang
Gael
on now a second,
and Labour. But I was about to say there is a significant challenge coming.
And listen, one of those challengers is Dean Mulligan, who's a councillor who topped the poll, Barry, in June 2024 in Swords, didn't he?
That's right, yes. And he also came perilously close to claiming a seat at Labour's expense in 2020, losing out by less than 200 votes. He stands for Independence for Change, so he's endorsed by the former TD here for here, and of course the former MEP Claire Daly, who recently launched his campaign as well, Dean Mulligan. He ran in the 2019 by-election as well and polled relatively respectably, but looking through tallies from his vote the last time, his vote really fell off a cliff once it left Swords. So in a condensed three-seater, the challenge perhaps is much, much greater for Dean Mulligan. His vote was also shrunken in the local elections, or has been shrunken by the redraw as well. But he will definitely contend, and if Claire Daly is involved, then all bets are off.
And Swords, of course, is the home, I think, of the Sinn Féin candidate, Anne Graves.
And yes,
it's interesting, we haven't mentioned Sinn Féin yet in this constituency. Louise O'Reilly is next door in Fine Gael West, but who has been a very powerful figure all across the old Fine Gael, Claire. But Sinn Féin, you know, they would have been looking at this when the boundaries had been redrawn as a clear target gain. And I think it says something about the difficulties the party is facing, mm-hmm, at the moment, that neither Barry or myself,
I mentioned her, are
thinking about her for a seat.
Yes, in Anne Graves, she contested the 2019 by-election where she garnered just 5% of the vote, that being November 2019. And of course, months later, things have changed dramatically for the party. She also stood in the recent local elections. She won in 2019, but lost her seat last time. But she was co-opted back on to the council following the resignation of one of her colleagues due to ill health. There's not much talk in this constituency, remarkably, about Sinn Féin's hopes for a gain. But again, if a national wind was to get behind them like the last time, where they polled 25% in the enlarged Dublin Fine Gael constituency, one could not rule them out. But again, it looks at a tall task on current evidence for Anne Graves to get into the mix. And really, as I said, 6 months ago, the consensus would have been that Sinn Féin would be taking a seat here along with Dara O'Brien, and the battle would have been on between Farrell, Smith and Mulligan for that final seat, but the consensus has been upended quite dramatically.
Okay, two other candidates worth a mention too. We've Councillor Joan Hopkins, who's running for the Social Democrats, and Margaret McGovern running for AIM 2. Gary, what do you think on both their chances?
Not very high, Claire. Mm-hmm. I would say they both suffer from a sort of lack of name recognition across the constituency, which geographically, while not as big as next door in West, is significant enough, mm, still. And I would be, I think for smaller parties, they tend to do better when there are no strong independents, and we have a very strong independent chance here, so that's, mm-hmm, why I would rule them out.
Yeah, Joan Hopkins is probably in the wrong constituency. She got elected in the local elections, but 83% of her vote on that occasion was actually in Dublin Bay North, where Keane O'Callaghan is obviously blocking her way, not in Dublin Fine Gael East. So really, it'll be party brand stuff that could get her into the mix.
Okay, so with these tight three seaters, Gary, like, it's always useful to know when we get to the election count, like, what are the things you're looking out for in the early stages? What should we be watching for?
Well, you need... So for three seats, you need 25% of the vote, over 25%, 25.1 to win a seat. So you need a good chunk of a first preference vote, particularly if there are not a huge number of candidates, which there are not in this particular case. I will be intrigued to see how Dara O'Brien's vote holds up, given the concerns that Fianna Fáil internally seem to have about him. And... there is still danger, I think, for Duncan Smith and Labour, because it's the old idea of like the hard left trying to colonise the soft left. And I think Mulligan, if he is close to Smith or even outpolls him on the first count, it could presage a difficult day for the Labour Party.
So call it then as we sit here, because campaign hasn't started yet. We, you know, they're all the provisos and the health warnings that we put in place. But as things stand, where do you think, Barry, this is going to land?
I don't want to annoy my moles and Fianna Fáil headquarters. I don't think they think Dara
O'Brien... Is that
O'Brien,
who you were texting there?
No, I don't think Dara O'Brien... They think Dara O'Brien is in trouble, but he is certainly putting in a lot of effort on the ground to reclaim his seat, which he should ultimately with some degree of comfort. And I think it's clear cut that he'll be joined by Alan Farrell and Duncan Smith.
I think I put those words into your mouth, Barry, which was probably a poor reflection
of
my analytical skills. I think that is probably right, but I don't think there's any full guarantee that Duncan Smith will hold for Labour here, particularly on the back of what I expect to be a strong challenge from Mulligan. He might do, but I'll be looking to see what his first preference vote is like.
Okay, so you're giving it for Alan Farrell, Fine Gael, Dara O'Brien, Fianna Fáil and a question mark. Is that fair?
That's for me, yeah.
All right, we'll leave that one there. Barry, you're going to be back with us for an update after nominations close. Our thanks to Cormac Burke for all of his research. Dave Gibson was on sound. Our producer was Alistair McConnell. Remember, tune in to RTÉ Radio 1 on Results Weekend and across RTÉ Television and all of our digital platforms for full coverage of all 43 constituencies.
Know Your Constituency, the RTÉ Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.
Now we're back, and since we recorded that conversation, we now know the date of the next general election and nominations have now closed. So Barry's back to give us an update on Dublin Fingal East. Take it away, Barry.
A high-profile entrant and a high-profile withdrawal all wrapped up in one here, Clare. The Stardust survivor and campaigner Antoinette Keegan. She, of course, lost her sisters in the disaster which claimed the lives of 48 young people, and she has continuously fought over the decades, for justice for those who lost their lives in the fire. Well, she initially announced her candidature for the far-right National Party, but just days after launching her bid, she said she would instead stand in the Dublin Bay North constituency rather than here in Dublin Fingal East. Of course, Dublin Bay North, where Miss Keegan is from and where the disaster happened. But then ultimately, she withdrew her candidature altogether, saying she realised that in hindsight, the principles that she'd long prided herself on were incompatible with the political party, the National Party, to which she had been nominated. That party, from its point of view, saying that it did its due diligence in terms of explaining the likely responses to Antoinette Keegan's candidacy to her, particularly from politically aligned supporters of her Stardust campaigning work. But Antoinette Keegan, she was on the ticket, she's now not on the ticket. One person who is on it, though, is the recently elected independent councillor Darren Jack Kelly, based around the Swords area. He's over two decades experience in the media industry, he says, and his social media is pointing out issues around the government's handling on the overspend at the National Children's Hospital. Hard to know if he can get into the mix here. Also on the ticket is Ben Gilroy, the leader of the Liberty Republic Party. He's standing in a number of constituencies, including also in Dublin Fingal West next door, and he's contested several electoral contests without success since 2013, previously running for Direct Democracy Ireland and also the Irish Freedom Party. But still not much apparent change to the dynamics around this contest. Now, the bookmakers have Independence for Change, Dean Mulligan, and Labour's Duncan Smith running neck and neck for the final seat out ahead of Sinn Féin's Anne Graves. But Sinn Féin's poll ratings, the bleeding has stopped somewhat recently. As for Dean Mulligan, it is expected locally that much of his organisation will have moved their efforts to Dublin Central, where Claire Daly is running. Of course, she, a former MEP and TD for Independence for Change, also representing this constituency. What apparatus on the ground will Dean Mulligan have, or will it work out to his benefit? Will the publicity around Claire Daly coming back to domestic politics help him in his bid to unseat Labour's Duncan Smith? Fine Gael's Alan Farrell and Fianna Fáil's Dara O'Brien still seem rather assured, although I have spoken to some people in this constituency who've told me how they raised, when Dara O'Brien has come knocking on their door, how they raised the housing crisis with him, with particular young professionals in their 30s, pointing out the lack of affordable housing both in this constituency and elsewhere when the minister has come knocking on their door. But he still seems rather assured for a seat. He is now joined on the ticket by Manju Devi. She's from the Indian community in this constituency, which is not an insignificant cohort. However, it's worth pointing out how of the 7 Fianna Fáil candidates to fail to accrue a fifth of a quota in the 2020 general election, all 7 were female. And the full list of candidates here are included in constituency profiles on the RTE News website. You'll find them at rte.ie/constituencies.
Know your constituency. The RTE Radio 1 Guide to General Election 2024.